Okay, we're up to the beginning of Perek Yutes. Perek Yutes deals with Mitzrayim. The master prophecy Yeshayahu saw about what will happen to Egypt. These are very difficult psukim. They're not difficult in translating. The words are not as hard as some of the other psukim, but the ideas that are expressed, that are referred to, are very difficult to understand what exactly it's referring to. Did these events happen in the lifetime of Yeshayahu? Did they happen after the lifetime of Yeshayahu? Have they not happened yet? Are they referring to events that happened in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, things which are not opened in the Torah, and Yeshayahu here through Ruach HaKodesh is telling us about what happened in the past? It's not clear. The truth is, they're probably all correct. There are many layers of interpretation when it comes to Nevuah. On one hand, these are events about the past. Again, different ideas that are not open in the Torah, which Yeshayahu is coming to reveal to us, different things, aspects of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that there's what to learn from. On the other hand, it can refer to events that have happened shortly after the downfall of the Aseres HaShvatim. After Sancheriv's army was destroyed, many people returned to Mitzrayim, and many of the soldiers do. The Medrash says that Chizkiyahu had under his control, had imprisoned a group of people, a group of soldiers and generals that originated, that came from the land of Mitzrayim. And after the miracle of the downfall of Sancheriv, he released them, and these people went back to Egypt. And it tells us what happened in Egypt shortly after the fall of Sancheriv in the lifetime of Chizkiyahu. Or it's referring to what's going to happen in the times of Mashiach. And as we'll see, the book has some very interesting ideas, which, again, it's not clear at what point in history have these ideas happened, or if they have not yet happened. Masa Mitzrayim, Masa is usually a term of churban. It is a prophecy, it's a burden. And a burden always refers to something horrible, something evil, something bad that is going to happen to the land of Mitzrayim. Hinei Hashem Rechev al Ov Kal. Hashem is running upon a light cloud. Uva Mitzrayim, and he will come to Mitzrayim. Simple understanding is Hashem will come very quickly. Hashem now has decided that he wants to destroy Egypt. And when Hashem wants to do something, there's no impediments. There's nothing is holding back Hashem from swiftly carrying out his plans. And this idea is expressed here with the words of Kal, a lightweight cloud. Anything that's light can travel quickly. There's no delay. And what's going to happen? Vino'u, when he arrives in Egypt, it will shake. It will shake and shudder. Elilei Mitzrayim, the gods of Egypt, Mipana, before the presence of Hashem, Ulevav Mitzrayim Yimas Bikirbo, the heart of Egypt will melt within. They will be terrorized when they realize that Hashem has arrived and Hashem has planned, decided to destroy, bring harm, churban upon the land of Egypt. Now, before we go further and discuss the Pshut Shel Mikra, many Darshanim This pasuk is a favorite for many darshanim who just take different expressions in Tanakh and they use it for different musar or different interesting ideas to extract from the words of the pasuk. And here an idea is Hashem, Hine Hashem, Roichev al Ov Kal. Roichev means Hashem rides, but it refers to a more Kabbalistic concept, Hashem the Merkava. Hashem, he rests his presence. Roichev means, again, Hashem sometimes is described as Yoishev al Hakisei. Hashem is sitting on his throne. Hashem is the Melech Yoishev al Kisei Malchuso. And sometimes in Tanakh, Hashem is described as Hashem is on a Merkava, on a chariot. Two different images, metaphors to describe the Shechina, the resting place of Hashem, Shechina. Simply means when Hashem is Yeshev al Kisei, that means that it's a time of Geula, a time of redemption. The Jewish people are secure. When they are safe and secure and doing the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyach, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting on his Kisei, Kivoy Malchuso, on his royal throne. When Klal Yisrael is in Golos, and they are suffering. Hashem removes himself from his throne and travels and on his chariot. He is in a state of mobility. He is traveling. He has descended kavayachol to the Jewish people where they are in Golos. Imo Onochi Bitsara. Okay, that's a general idea of Kisei, two different images. Kodesh Baruch Hu is Yoshev al Kisei, Kodesh Baruch Hu is riding in his chariot. Here it says Roichev, Hashem is traveling, which simply means Hashem, his Shechin is resting upon Ov Kal. Ov, in the similar interpretation, we said it means a cloud, but Ov also can mean thick. Kal means light. And it's Darshan to mean that Kodesh Baruch Hu rests his presence upon a person. A human being by nature is off, is thick, stubborn, has tendencies to do kiyetsa leiv ha'odam ramin, or a person's a tendency to be stubborn, to is a thickness, is a rebellion, a rebellious nature within a human being. But kal, a person, he makes himself light, he breaks his base nature and becomes a light creature, willing to accept upon himself the will of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Upon such people, Hashem rests his presence. Hashem roichev, Hashem rests his presence upon a person who transforms off what is thick, the thickness, the kashay oiref kal, into lightness. Yeah.
Thickness is a quality of gashmius.
Correct.
Kalus.
Of Ruchnius. So it's the same idea. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests his presence upon people that transform, they elevate the Gashmius into Ruchnius. Those that go from off Kal. Okay, that's just a side point which some people, I saw this in a few places, they take this idea and they Hashem is Roichev al off Kal. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk Beis. This
is a question.
Yeah.
It's actually specific and general. What's the, you mentioned before that the Nebuah could be applied conceptually to different eras.
Correct.
And so my question is, first of all, why is the Navi seemingly, I don't want to say ambiguous, and secondly, this is provided fodder for other religions to misinterpret the Tanakh as they see fit?
As far as other religions abusing the words of Nevuah and molding it for their own purposes is totally not a concern for us. Anyone that wants to go and make mistakes, doesn't matter. That anyone, you can do that with anything. There's a chazal. Yeah. It doesn't matter. There is much rich, being that it's abstract. The words of Nevuah is abstract, they're vague, allows itself to be interpreted many ways.
What's the point of that?
Because it's all true. Because a prophecy, a prophet is seeing things not just now, he's seeing the past, he's seeing the future, he's seeing many periods of history, and they all have a pattern, and there's what to learn. The main point is, there is Musa. The words of Nevuah primarily are words of Musa, rebuke. Words that we take to improve ourselves. There is what to learn. And every generation, every point in time, these words can be applied to the current generation, or there's something to learn at every point in time from these words. Being, it's true, there is a drawback, and that being that it's abstract, so anyone that wants...
That wasn't the point of the Nebuah.
Not, no, it was.
Was it?
It was, yes, it was, because it was preserved. Mm-hmm. It was said at a specific point in time to a group of people, and that group of people, there was a direct message for them at that moment in time, but it was preserved. There's Chof Dal at Sifrei Tanakh. Chazal tell us there were hundreds of thousands of prophets. I think 1,200,000 prophets. And their words were not preserved for all time. Why not? Because their message was only for that particular generation, to the people they were speaking to. There was nothing to be taken for the future generations, and therefore, it was a one-time...
But the Musa could have been said in a more direct format. This is like general... I mean, like you're saying, you can't have been able to tie in the Nebuah to something.
We do, we are. We're tying it to the time that he's speaking, and we're also tying it, that's the many Purushim. We'll learn right now according to the immediate time period, but there's also what to learn for today. Rav Shimon Schwab says over and over that when we talk about Mitzrayim, there's an ancient Egypt, It could be when it says Mitzrayim refers to Mitzrayim today as well, but it can very well be that Mitzrayim refers to the United States of America. It could refer to Russia. It could refer to China. It could refer to India. Every generation, there is a collection of nations. There's Moab, there's Mitzrayim, there's Edom, Aram, the Pelishtim. In every generation, a different nation takes on the characteristics of the nation of that particular nation. So it's like musical chairs. You have a new generation. You have a group of nations today: United States, Russia, China, India. All the European nations, you want to go and look at this nevuah. You want to go and interpret what is the Musar Haskel of this generation, of this nevuah for today's times. Well, today, who is Mitzrayim? Maybe United States is Mitzrayim.
We have to
go further. Okay, this is just a general idea. The Mitzudos is very into simple interpretations. I almost always refer to the Mitzudos, and we interpret the pasuk first according to the Pshuta Shel Mikra. And if Pshuta Shel Mikra, Yeshaya is speaking to the Egypt in his time. The Egypt in the time of Yeshaya had suffered greatly after the fall of the Aseres HaShvatim. At Sancheriv, he conquered Aram. He then conquered the Aseres HaShvatim. He attempted to conquer the Malchus of Yehuda. He failed. And afterwards, there was a change in the world with regard to Egypt. And during that same point in time, the Nebuchadnezzar was rising to power from Babel. Let's go further. Pasuk Beis. V'sichsachti Mitzrayim b'Mitzrayim. Sichsachti means bilbul. I will confuse. There will be a civil war in Egypt. We're going to see now that Egypt is made up of many, many city-states. It's one large region, one large nation. It could be there was one paro. But in Egypt, there were many other city-states. If you don't want to interpret this through reference to the United States of America, so you'd say there's a federal government, and then there are 50 states. The Sechsachti is going to be a confusion, a civil war among the different individual states within Egypt. The Sechsachti is going to cause confusion. Mitzrayim, part of Egypt, against the Mitzrayim. The Nilchamu Ishbiachim, then there will be a civil war. One brother, man will fight against his brother, the Ishbiriyeh, one person against his friend. Ear by ear, a city against a city. Mamlocha, the Mamlocha. One government against another government. There are multiple mini-governments within the larger government of Egypt. What does that mean? I mean, in modern times, you can talk about what's going on in Egypt. There was a whole war going on with unrest, with the president of Egypt and the military. I mean, if you want, you can apply it. You can maybe perhaps have a Jewish and apply this to modern day what took place recently in Egypt. Pasuk Gimel. V'navka ruach Mitzrayim b'yakirbo. They will melt. They will realize that they are being punished. It's not exactly clear what the punishment is, but they recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. He's about to punish them, and the spirit will be poured out. Nafka means to be poured out or to melt. Over here in the Mitzvot, he says Tisroikon, to be emptied out, the spirit of Egypt became out from within. We're going to see soon that Mitzrayim prided themselves as being the wisest men of the world. They had the Ivy League schools. The Chochmah of the world was found in the land of Egypt, either in ancient times, I'm referring to the Pshuta Shel Mikra, or you want to say first United States. I mean, that's where that's where people send their children to come to the Ivy League schools in the United States. Even the Arab nations, they send come to the United States and you study here for a couple of years, and then you go back home. But the Atzaso, the council of the Nafka Ruach Mitzrayim B'kibah V'Atzaso, their council Avaleya, it will be swallowed up. It will dissipate. It will disappear. The Dorshu El Ho'elilim. At this point in time, when they realize that they cannot rely upon their chachma, they see that they are being destroyed. And we're going to see more details. Specifically, the economy is completely is collapsing. And they all get together and they think, what can we do? What can we do to restore our country, to prevent its downfall? And they realize there is no solution. There's nothing that we can do derech hateva to survive. So the next best thing is we have to turn to the gods. And here the pasuk describes four different types of avodah zarah. I do not know exactly what they are, but v'darshu el ho'elilim, they will seek the elilim, the el ho'itim. Itim is another type of magic, another form of avodah zarah. The el ho'avos v'el ha'yid onim. This we have in the Torah, different types of communication with the dead to figure out what to do. Pasuk here describes four types of avodah zarah, which the Egyptians will seek when they realize that their chokhmah, that they prided themselves on, is not sufficient to solve their problems. Pasuk Dalet. This Sikarti es Mitzrayim biyad Adonim Koshe. Now the word of Sikarti, Rashi and Mitzudas explain, you have to interchange the Chof with the Gimel. There are many different ways to interpret, to interchange letters. And this Sikarti, this Sigarti, everyone knows that word Sogar means to deliver. So translate the word as if it said, V'sigarti es Mitzrayim biyad Adonim Koshe. I will deliver the Egyptians in Adonim Kosh, in the hands of a mighty master. Lefi Pshuto Shel Mikra, this refers to the Malchus of Ashur. Even though Sancheriv, Melech Ashur, by and large, was defeated, his army was conquered, the army miraculously was killed by the Malach as they poised to conquer themselves, to conquer Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, it appears that there were enough survivors who went on to the land of Egypt to conquer Egypt, and indeed they will be given over into the hands of Biyad Adonim Koshe, referring specifically to the king of Ashur. If you look in, let me see if it's the Rashi. I'm sorry, not the Rashi. Let's look in the Mitzudos. V'sikarti pasuk dalid. Im sarein biyad adon koshe v'hu melech Ashur. The king of Ashur. It's not exactly clear what period this was. It could simply mean right after the failed attempt to conquer Yerushalayim. Umelech Az, an arrogant or mighty or powerful king, Yimshal Bam will rule upon them, referring to the king of Ashur, Nu'um Ha'adoin, who says this will happen, the mass, Nu'um, these are the words, Ha'adoin Hashem Tzivakos. This will happen. Hashem is giving this prophecy over to Yeshaya. I will happen. They will melt. Their Eitzah will be lost. Their Sik Avodah Zarah, nothing will help. They will be conquered by Melech Ashur. And this will be after there will be a major civil war in the land of Egypt. Some of Farshim learned that when it says here, Melech Az Yimshal Bam refers to Chizkiyahu, that the reason why they will fall Melech Az is Hashem owes le'amo yitain. Oz means might and refers to Torah and refers to Chizkiyahu. To some degree, after the fall of Sancheriv, the Malchus of Yehuda was elevated. As we mentioned many times, that Chizkiyahu could have been Melech HaMashiach. It's only because he failed to sing Shira. The world was about to be transformed to a new state. And at that point, Mitzrayim was under the control of the Malchus of Yehuda. And that is alluded to here, Melech Oz. Why do we call it Melech Az? Why do we call the Malchus of Yehuda Melech Az? Because the innovation, the unique chiddush of Chizkiyah was the study of Torah. He taught all in Batku Midonah Be'er Sheva. There was not a child that was found. There was not a baki in the laws of Tumah V'Tahara. The schus, the reason why they were saved from Asher was because of the schus HaTorah, and Torah is called Oz, might, and the king of this Jewish nation that was studying Torah was Chizkiyahu. So here he is referred to the Melech Az. The Chizkiyahu will be the authority in the land of Egypt at this point in time. Pasuk Hey. V'nishesu mayim mehayam. Now we are continuing the Churban of Mitzrayim. Again, a lot of these things are not clear. Other prophecies we learned about other nations, it's clear. It's documented. You learn the Pshuta Shel Mikra. There was an event which took place in the lifetime of Yeshaya or shortly thereafter, as we discussed many times. But over here, the Mepharshim are silent because it's not clear. This could refer to some later point in time. Could be referring to something which is going to happen in Yemos HaMashiach, or could be referring to something, some period of time which has happened in the past, which we're just not aware of exactly at what point in time, or it's a little bit of everything. And here it describes the collapse of the economy of Mitzrayim. Now Mitzrayim, we know they lived on the Nile. The Nile flooded every single year, and they irrigated their fields. In Mitzrayim, it does not rain. Everything comes from the Nile, and the people of Egypt in ancient times actually worshipped the Nile. It was the source of their livelihood, their survival. How will Hashem destroy the country? Destroy the economy. When the economy is, when there's no parnasa, there's nothing. And that is how the Churban will come to this land. The Nishesu means it will be removed. If you look at the Mitzudos, Inyan hatokov hasara. In the Mitzvah Sion, they mean to be removed. The mayim hayom, the water from the sea will cease to exist. And the Nela, once there is no water in the Yom, the Nahar Yecharav Yavesh, the river will dry up, will be destroyed and will dry. When there is no water, then even the channels that flow will cease to exist. As so one of the Darshanim explains, this refers to a Rebbe, a teacher. How he called Samar Luchulamai Mayim is Torah, that when the Rebbe has Talmidim, then the Rebbe thrives. But the Nishisu Mayim Hayam, if there's no more Talmidim to absorb the Torah, then the Rebbe withers away. Then the river which provides the water, will be destroyed, v'yavesh, and dry up. The Rebbe is only as good as his Talmidim. Pasuk Vav. V'heznichu niharos. Again, these are all words which mean the same thing. They have a lot of repetition. We just had the word before, v'nishisu, which means to be removed. We have the same idea in Pasuk Vav, v'heznichu, heznichu lashon of abandonment. The Mitzudos Tzion, it's aziva. From the word aziva, the naharos, the rivers will be abandoned. Dolalu means they'll be, also mean removed. It simply means to be lifted up. Yarum, to be elevated. In this context, it means the water will be removed from the river. V'chorvu, yo'erei matzar. And the matzar means the irrigation canals. The irrigation canals which feed off the Nile will dry up. Konevo suf kamelu. Now these are two words, two different types of reeds, different types of forms of vegetation that grow along the Nile, grow along the riverbed. The koneh, the suf, these types of vegetation, kamelu, will wither when there is no longer any water. So we have over here four words, in these two psukim together, pasukein, pasuk vav, v'nishesu. Then we have Yechera, V'yavesh, those are three words. Then we have V'heznichu, that's a fourth word. Dalu is a fifth word. V'charvu, that's really the same thing as Yechera, but that's going to be a sixth word. And Kamelu is a seventh word. Seven different words describing the drying up of the water, the Parnassa, in seven different ways. The Parnassa, the economy of Egypt, will cease to exist. Okay, Pasuk Zion. Aros. Aros is a very difficult word to translate. Okay, it's not a usual word. Here it seems to mean vegetation. Vegetables. That's what it says. Let's look at the Mitzudos Sion Pasuk Zayin. Aros in Yonoi Dover Hamoure Finishrash Yofe. It means something which is well rooted. And in the Mitzudos David, what does it mean, something that's well rooted? It means so asavim hanishrashim v'nechazim alayar. It means grass, the grass that are well rooted and are attached strongly to the river. Aros al yar. Rashi it says. Rashi says it just means vegetation. Let's see. We have pasuk zayin in Rashi. Aros l'shon davar hamur v'nishrash yafe yafe. Same idea. It means that then he goes on to explain the chin chaver menachem bechiver zroim hanishrash malnilos. Okay, means seeds, grass, different forms of vegetation that along the seabed, along the rivers and the irrigation canals, aros al yar. Period. Then the pasuk goes further al pi yar. Another expression. Those forms of vegetation that are growing by the tip, by the edge of the yar of the river. The whole Mizra Yar, and all seeds of the river. Three expressions which basically mean the same thing. I'm certain there must be some deeper meaning to this, but at least we have in front of us repetition of the same idea three times. Aros al Yar, number one. Number two, al Pi Yar. Number three, the whole Mizra Yar, all different types of vegetation. Yivash, will dry. Nidaf, will be blown away, ve'einenu, and will cease to exist. It could be that the three different words at the end of the pasuk parallel the three parts of the three different expressions in the beginning of the pasuk. Yivash refers to the aros al yar, yidaf refers to the pr, and ve'einenu refers to the mizra yar. Basically, it means the economy of Egypt can be completely obliterated. Previous Pesukim told us about the seven different forms of destruction, seven different expressions of drying up. And in this pasuk, we have over here three different types of vegetation, three different types of commodities, which will cease to exist at the time when Egypt is destroyed. Pasuk Ches. When there is no water, besides the fact that there is no vegetation, and there is no planting, what about the fishing industry? The Anu Hadayogim, the Ovalu, the fishers will mourn. Two expressions of mourning, Aninus and Avelus. Dayogim refers to the fishermen. They will lament and they will mourn over the loss of their industry. There's no river, there's no water, there's no fish to be caught. Kol Mashlichei Vayor Chaka, all those. Let's go back. V'yanu hadayogim, period. V'yavalu. This is a continuation. So let's break up the pasuk into two parts. First, it says v'yanu hadayogim. The fishermen will mourn. They will go into a state of mourning. Period. Number two, there's a fishing industry. The fishing industry doesn't just include the fishermen; it includes the people who make the nets. And the net industry is a very big industry because it starts with growing flax, and from the flax, there's people that comb the flax to prepare it for the nets, and then there are the people that actually take the finished product, the finished flax that's been combed, and sew it and weave it into a net that's fit for catching fish. So if there's no water in Egypt, then the fishing industry, including the support system, those who prepare the nets, will lose their parnas. The anu hadayagin, the avalu, will mourn kol mashlichei vayar chaka. All those that throw into the river a trap, a net, will mourn. A hook. Chaka is a fish hook. The hooks, that's the trap, that's the bait for the fish. Uforse mich mores, those that spread out nets to trap fish, al pnei mayim, umlalu, will go into a state of mourning. Pasik tes, uvoshu oivdei fishtim, and those that prepare flax in order to create nets to trap fish, you start off, in ancient times it wasn't made from plastic, it was made from flax. So there were people who specialized in growing flax, and then it was given over to professionals who would comb the flax, and then given over to a third group of people who would take the finished combed flax and weave it into nets. These three industries will come to an end in Egypt, and these three groups of people will no longer have parnasa. They'll walk the streets embarrassed. I have nothing to do with my time. I've been trained to be a flax grower, flax comber, a net to weave nets. There's nothing for me to do, and they will be embarrassed. So voshu oiv they fish, those that go and work the land to produce flax, and sirikos, those that comb the flax. The origim choroi. Choroi means holes. Chor is a hole. In this context, it means a net, because a net is full of holes. Those that weave the nets will be embarrassed. Pasuk Yud, v'hoyu shososecha midukoim. Shososecha means the foundations. The foundation of a country is its economy. And when the economy ceases to function, then the country collapses. So here, the economy of Egypt is all based on water. It's all based on the Nile. The Nile floods and waters the land, produces all various types of vegetation, so that will cease to exist. And the other industry that comes from the water is the fishing industry, and the entire support system that will also cease to exist. So the foundation of the country, which is its economy, will come to an end. And the foundation of this country, midu koim, will be smitten, will be crushed. Call another industry, the Pasuk refers to here in Pasuk Yud, call osei secher agmei nofesh. Now, secher here means a dam. It means to a steamer. It means to close, to shut close. This was also part of the fishing industry. People who specialized in dams. What do you have? You have a body of water that's flowing through an area, and you stop the water. By stopping the water, you have ponds. And now that you have ponds, it's easy to collect, let the ponds dry out, or it's easy to capture the fish in these ponds. As long as the river is flowing, the fish flow with the water, and they go. They start here, they go there, and they leave, and it's difficult to catch the fish. But if you can isolate a collection of water with the fish within, then you have the option of collecting the fish and profiting from these fish. So that's what a secher is, that in this, when there was a lot of water, there was an industry of being an expert of secher, means to close, steamer, to close up the water and create ponds, and in that fashion one was able to easily trap the fish. They will be agmei nofesh, which we simply translate to mean we translate this to mean a person's agmas nefesh, the soul. It says here nefesh, the soul. A person will be full of tsar. The citizens of Egypt will suffer greatly when they lose their source of income. There's no greater sense of instability and worry than losing your job.
And unemployment.
What? Unemployment. When there's no unemployment. The unemployment benefits. No benefits.
No stimulus package.
Or better, no safe net.
No safe. Very good.
No retraining programs to learn new occupation.
Agme nefesh. Agme means, it means pain. The pain of the soul. Now that's not the simple interpretation. I told you, agme really means comes to an end. Agam here means it will come to an end. Their neshama, it will feel as if their soul is leaving them. Their soul has left them. They have no spirit. They have nothing to live for because they lost their job. But that's not really what that's not the Pshut Shel Mikra. The Pshut Shel Mikra, when it talks about Agmei Nofesh, Nofesh refers to Agmei. Can you look at the Mitzudos David? Pasuk Yud, v'hoyu shoshasecha midukoyim, derech tzaydei goyim listoim b'fnei amayim ha-mespashtim yoytzim v'sas anor shlo yeshuvu l'mukamam v'amayim ha-mespashtim nasim agomim. Okay, so agomim, agme here means pans, swamps, nochim v'oyimdim v'mukamam, pans which are isolated, they're not moving. Over him, once we have a body of water that's not in motion, it's easy to collect the fish within. Over him, sodim hadogim ulze amar, and that's what the pasuk here means. Vishe tichorev hayor, when the Nile ceases to exist, yuduku yoiste hastimo shel kol ha'isim, it will be crushed. The foundations of the dams which created these ponds will have no function anymore. Shel kol oisim stimolios agmei nefesh ki hoil bein mayim eino tzarech behastimas haheim. There's no purpose in these dams. So agmei nefesh means it will come to an end. The dams kol oisei secher, all those that specialize in dams, will be. Midukoyim kol ose secher agmei nofesh. In the last words of the Mesudas David, Lozeh Amar, Shitachar v'hayar, Yiduku yoste hastimos, will be crushed. will be crushed the foundations of the stima, shel kol ha'isim stima. Liyos, they will be agmenevsh. I guess let's learn pash. Agmenevsh means they will be a bitter spirit. There'll be all the people who specialize in osei secher, in creating dams, will be bitter. Pasuk yud aleph. We want more.
In colloquial expression, he suffers from agmen nefesh.
Right.
So that's mental anguish.
Mental anguish. Right. That's how we translated originally. But there's really a more simple interpretation in this context. But let's leave it with that for now. Right now, we'll leave it with that. That's really what the pasuk means according to some. Kol oisei secher, all those people who specialize in dams and creating ponds through stopping the water. Secher means to stop the water. Now, when their source of livelihood has come to an end because the Nile no longer produces water, no longer floods, they'll have nothing what to do. They'll be agmei nefesh. They will have a bitter spirit. Okay, we'll stop here. Up to pasuk yud aleph.